Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome along to church. It's great to see you here this morning. This is our last day going through 1 Thessalonians. And so my encouragement to you is that over the week, it'd be great to read through 1 Thessalonians again, refresh your memories, and to see where we've traveled, and in particular, see what it is that actually we're supposed to be putting into practice. And so that'd be encouragement over the week. See if you can read through 1 Thessalonians and just listen to God's word again. Now, today we're going through 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Next week we're looking at a psalm, and then the week after that it's Easter. And so I hope that you can be inviting people to church and to be praying for them. Now, a friend of mine went to Argentina a little while ago, and she was there for 3 months and she stayed with a family. She was kind of like on a homestay there. And when she came back, she was telling me about how different the families were over there. How different family life was. It was completely different. A lot of the families were poor, and so they sleep in the same room. Child safety was different. When you're driving, they didn't have car seats. A lot of times they didn't have baby capsules. You just put them in the car, strap them up, and away you go. She would go to somebody's place for dinner, and instead of arriving at 5 or 6 at night, she would arrive at 9:30. And they wouldn't have dinner till 11:30. The kids by this stage had fallen asleep, and so basically you wake them up, they eat, and they go back to sleep again. Family life is different. Nutrition was different. She was telling us about how the toddlers, before going to sleep, instead of having a bottle of water, what did they have? Not a bottle of water, a bottle of milk. They had a bottle of Coke. And basically you just pat the baby to sleep. Inside church, they had lolly bags they would give to the kids to keep them entertained, which probably for some of us might help a little bit, but that's kind of what things look like over there. Sometimes you go to somebody's place and the family is radically different, not just in Argentina, but even here in Sydney. There's different expectations, different standards, different values, different ways in the way that you relate. Now, I mention all of that, and that's also the discussion question, because here in 1 Thessalonians, at the end of chapter 5, Paul is talking about the church family, the family that belongs to God. 11 times up to this point, Paul calls the Thessalonians brothers and sisters. If you remember back in chapter 2, he talks about being like a father, being like a mother. And in chapter 4, verse 9, he talks about Philadelphia. Brotherly love. They are a family. And here at the end of the letter, in just these 17 verses, he does it 5 times. Brothers and sisters, brothers and sisters, brothers and sisters. He's talking about the family of God. What it means to be part of the church family, the Christian family. And he spells that out in a number of commands. It's almost like a shopping list. There's 20 of them. He's talking about what does it mean to be in this family, the Christian family. Why don't we pray and ask God to be with us as we look at this passage, that God might open up our eyes and teach us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word to us here in 1 Thessalonians. We pray, Lord, that right now you might help us to focus on what you have to say to us. What are the areas in our life that we need to shape and change? We pray, Lord, that you might help us to understand what it means to be part of your family. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So the church is like a family. And the first thing we see is family leadership. It'd be great if you've got your Bibles open in front of you. There's going to be a question and answer time later. Let me read verse 12. Now we ask you, brothers and sisters, to acknowledge those who work hard among you, who care for you in the Lord, and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard in love, because of their work. Live in peace with each other. Now, first of all, do you see what implicitly it says to leaders? The word care there in verse 12, it's actually been softened a little bit. The word is to rule, it's to lead. And Paul says to rule, to lead, to be over somebody in the Lord, it's hard work. You see, if you're a leader, it's not the general who's sitting back, calling all the shots, safe back at headquarters. You're in the trenches. As a leader, you're doing the hard yards. You can't expect others to talk to people about Jesus if you're not doing it yourself. So there's a command here for me as well. If I'm not talking about Jesus, tell me. Let me know. Something that I need to be making sure that I'm doing. If you're a leader, whether it's in kids' church or youth group or growth group, one-to-one, being a minister, it's hard work. It can be tiring. It means preparing, telling people about Jesus, caring for people, admonishing people in verse 12, telling people where they need to change. And that's not easy, is it? But that's what it means to lead. And we do that in love, if you remember back in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. If that's what a leader does, how about the rest of us? Now, it's easy here in Australia to make fun of our leaders. It's almost like a national pastime, a national sport. Whether it's ScoMo or Albo, it happens to both of them. It's easy to despise authority. In Australia, we celebrate the larrikin. We celebrate Ned Kelly. He was a bushranger. He was a criminal. Our national song, Waltzing Matilda, that person steals a sheep. When it comes to authority, people in leadership, we are so good at complaining and criticizing and making fun. Whether it's the politician or the boss at work or even here at church. There's a poem by John Betjeman named Blame the Vicar. A vicar is basically the senior minister. Let me read it out. It goes like this. When things go wrong, it's rather tame to find we ourselves to blame. It gets the trouble over quicker to go and blame things on the vicar. The vicar, after all, is paid to keep us bright and undismayed. And when we're rude, he should be meek and always turn the other cheek. And Paul says, that is not us. That is not the picture of a Christian family. It's not the picture of Christian leadership. What does he say? Paul says, acknowledge them. Respect your leaders. Don't take them for granted. Whether it's the growth group leader, the person who leads a particular ministry at church, the youth group leader, or the pastor. Hold them in the highest regard, verse 13, because of their work. Now, the world outside, the world out there, doesn't think that teaching people about Jesus is important. But we do. We think it's one of the most important things in the world. And so hold them in the highest regard because their work is crucial. And do it in love. Not begrudging, not despising, not making fun of them, but love them. Because it is hard work. Verse 13, live in peace. Nothing divides a family like backstabbing and tearing people down. But when there is love and respect, when a church prays for its leaders and encourages them, and it runs in the same direction, and the church leader is working hard, loving people, caring for them, that's when a family grows and it thrives, and the church is at its best. Family leadership. But there's always family problems. In a family, the kids have problems, the mum and dad have problems, churches have problems. You can't be in church for too long without realizing that. As good as our church is here at Barney's, it's not perfect. Families are not perfect. Paul mentions three groups of people who need help in verse 14. The idle, the disheartened, the weak. And so firstly, the idle. There's actually no word disruptive there in the Greek. It just says the idol. Warn them. Warn them. Now, the word idol, it's a military term. It's a picture of a soldier who's out of step with everyone else, who's breaking rank. It's the believer who's not living out what they're supposed to. They're getting lazy in their Christian life. They're not listening to the Bible. And Paul says, warn them. And it's not just the leader who does this, is it? That's a command in verse 14 for all of us. It's everyone's job. You see, if I have a friend who's messing up in their Christian life, and I know that there's areas that they're falling down in, my job is not to go and gossip to people. Did you see what that person did? My job is not to ignore it. You know, I don't want to get involved. I don't want to get messy. My job is to warn them and to be gentle and to love them. Now, if I turn that around, it also says if someone is trying to warn me, if they're trying to correct me, if they're trying to bring me back, if they're trying to put me in the right direction, maybe instead of getting defensive, I need to listen. We need to warn each other, but we also need to make sure that we're listening when people say the hard word to us. Warn the idle, encourage the disheartened, help the weak. Those who are struggling, those who are going through a rough patch. Maybe they're young as Christians, maybe they're spiritually, that they're finding things dry life, it's hard to cope. Now, we can look good on the outside, but we're not. We're actually not fine on the inside. We're struggling with sin, with doubt, coping with life. Maybe that's you even now, that you feel disheartened. You feel weak. We would love someone to encourage us. Be that for each other, for me, for the people around you. I would love it if after the service today, you wrote someone an email or you sent them a text message, you gave them a call. Ask them, how are you going? I haven't seen your church for a while. I haven't caught up with you for a while. How can I pray for you? Let's grab a coffee. That would be a great thing to do from this passage. And if you are struggling, especially if people can't see it, let me know. Warn the idle, encourage the disheartened, help the weak, be patient with everyone. And that is not easy. But that's what we do because we are family. Family leadership, family problems, family discussion. There's a conversation. And there's two things that happen here. There's talking to God and there's listening to God. And so first of all, talking to God in verse 16. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now it's interesting how these three things come together, to have joy, to pray, to give thanks. If you look at Philippians chapter 4, those three things come up there as well. We rejoice because of everything that we have in Jesus. We have forgiveness and salvation. God is our Father. We look forward to heaven. We rejoice because of all of that. And it means that we can give thanks no matter the circumstances because our circumstances can't touch those things. And so we pray. We give thanks to God and we pray knowing that God is in control and He only gives us what is for our good. We have every reason to praise Him. There is joy, praying and giving thanks. They go together. Talking to God. Listening to God. Are we doing that? Verse 19, do not quench the spirit. Do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all. Hold on to what is good. Reject every kind of evil. Now, we don't have time to go too deep into what prophecy is. We might have time later in the question and answer time, but as a general description, I'd say it's speaking God's word into a particular situation. Speaking God's word into a situation. Now, for the Thessalonians, they would have had the apostles and prophets. For them, that's what would have been prophecy as well as the Old Testament. Where do we see the word of God? Where do we see the Spirit being active? The apostles and prophets for us, it's in the Bible. It's been written down for us. It's in the New Testament. And so for us here, the command in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, I think the clearest picture is hearing and listening to the Word of God, to the Bible. What Paul is saying, don't quench the Spirit. Don't put the Spirit out. Don't try to smother it up. Don't treat prophecies with contempt. Make sure you're listening to the Word of God. Whether it's a friend talking to you about a Bible passage, or in growth group when you go along, when you hear a sermon, even this one, don't ignore it. Don't think, I know all of this, and you start drifting off and tuning out. Make sure you're listening to the Word of God. And at the same time, verse 21, test everything. Don't leave your brain at home and just accept everything that's said up front. Hold on to what's good, reject every kind of evil. Weigh up what is being said. That's part of why we have a question and answer time, so that you can ask questions. Make sure that what's being said from the front comes from the Bible. If it's not in the Bible, get rid of it. But if it is in the Bible, hold on to it. Work out, what is God saying to me here this morning? In the family of God, we talk to God and we listen to God. Family leadership, family problems, family discussion. Last of all, family future. God actually puts in front of us the future in front, what's there in store for us. You know, as a family, sometimes it's nice to know what's around the corner. What are my kids going to be like when they grow up? God gives us a picture of the future in verse 23. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Right at the end of the letter, Paul brings us back to the gospel. And he brings us back to Jesus. He doesn't just give us a bunch of rules. Do this, don't do that. It's not legalism. He comes back to the gospel. It is God who changes us. We can't do this by ourselves. It is God who's going to hold on to us. He keeps us going to the last day. There is confidence, not because of how good I am, but because of how good he is. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Back when Zach, he's our number two, when he was back in preschool, he was telling us how some of the mean boys at school, they would go around pretending to punch people, to punch the other kids. And I remember telling Zach that in our family, we don't do that. And actually, that was something that we would say to our kids to show them how we wanted them to be, the kind of people we wanted them to be. In our family, we are kind to each other. In our family, we try to do what's right. And that's what God is saying here. In his family, in my family, this is what God wants us to be like. What it means to be part of God's family. This morning, as we went through the second half of chapter 5, what do we need to hear the most? From all those different commands, all the commands that God gives us, where do we need to listen to what God is saying? Don't quench the spirit. Don't treat prophecies with contempt. I wonder if it's our attitude to our leaders that we need to respect them, love them. Maybe if we're leaders ourselves, we need to repent of being lazy or not caring for the people that we lead. Maybe we need to be looking out for our brothers and sisters who are struggling. Instead of gossiping or sitting back at somebody else's job, we need to encourage them, to warn them, because that is loving. Maybe we need to pray and to give thanks to God for everything that he does for us. Maybe we need to listen to God's word, to take the Bible, sermons, going to growth group more seriously. This is God speaking. And maybe you feel that it's been ages since the word of God has hit you. Or maybe we just need to see the wonderful grace that God gives us in Jesus. He takes us to the end. He is faithful. He will do it. And it's a beautiful promise. What do you need to hear the most? Because God's family, the church family, it is the greatest family in the world. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word to us all the way through the book of 1 Thessalonians. But we also pray for what we hear this morning. We ask, Lord, that you might stir our hearts and minds. Help us to see the privilege that it is to be part of your family. And we pray, Lord, that you might help us to see what it is in our lives where we need to shift and change as we seek to honor and please you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.